So the full deal for Jack Ginnivan, just having a really close look at this, my simple mind takes a while to process it, Phil. So obviously Ginnivan gets to Hawthorn. Now, in exchange, Collingwood get 33, but they give Hawthorn 39. So in this year's draft, they move up six spots. Then in next year's draft, they've got an upgrade in two rounds. They've got Hawthorn's future second, and they gave Hawthorn their future second. So by virtue of the fact where we think the two clubs will finish, that's an upgrade next year. They also got Hawthorn's future third, and they gave Hawthorn their future fourth. So it's an upgrade, half a dozen spots in this year's draft, and who knows what it'll be next year, but there's an upgrade in a couple of rounds there as well.
Yeah, well, I sort of had a quick go at looking at it, and I'm with you. Sometimes it gets a bit weird. I would have thought Hawthorn's future second, Collingwood's future second is almost the same as Hawthorn's future third, if you think.
Yeah.
Collingwood finish at one end, so they almost cancel each other out. So it's sort of like 39 and their future fourth plus Ginnivan for 33 in their future second, which will probably be, what do you reckon, 20, 22, depending on how it all pans out. So they've actually paid a fair bit for him, actually, in the end. Although that 39, that's the bit that, you know, that's why the point system's actually really handy, Sam, because when you try to work out exactly what you feel like it's worth, the points can be an easy way. But it feels like a fairish price all up, and obviously Hawthorn were always going to have to pay a bit more than market rate just because he was contracted.
So I'm keen on your thoughts on this. You said earlier just in passing that you're not sold on the move. Obviously it's happened now, but just Jack Ginnivan's motivation to do this. I'm keen on your thoughts on it. He's contracted for one more year. He's just played in a premiership. And there's so many strands to this, but let's stick to the football one for now. So he kicks 40 goals in 2022 as a rookie, bursts onto the scene. Everything's going magnificently. He's a marketer's dream as well. He's a cult hero. The Collingwood Army are behind him. He's come from nowhere, and everything's looking rosy. Then they go and get Bobby Hill, and he probably thinks, oh, okay, well, they've recruited a like type. Bobby Hill comes in. Then he has a difficult year this year, and they go out and get Lachie Schultz, and he thinks, Christ, they keep recruiting the same player. What happens if I have, worst-case scenario, another ordinary-ish year next year? What sort of bargaining position could I be in when I'm out of contract? So as a former player, can you put yourself in that situation, and is it a difficult decision, or you would have backed yourself to stay, do you think?
Yeah, I think I could definitely empathise with him. I think it would have been incredibly difficult to see. Sort of, you feel like you have this breakout year, they go and get someone very similar in Bobby Hill, and then another good year. You know, I think he was out for 9 weeks straight, was he? Or along those sort of lines, he was out of the team for a while there. Came back in, sub in the team, and obviously in the grand final team. And then they get Lachie Schultz, the funny thing about Lachie Schultz is he is the biggest name probably in this trade period. He is probably the best player that's been traded so far. It's just that he plays for Fremantle that we don't know, or we don't talk about him as much. He's a very, very good player. So, yeah, I reckon he would feel like, oh, well, like, another person comes in. And Josh Jenkins, I had spoken about a few times. I feel like Lachie Schultz probably plays a little bit like Jamie Elliott. Obviously, he'll play, in Jack's spot. You know, Jack versus
Schultz.
Schultz wins. That's just the way it is at the moment. I guess for me, I sort of feel as though, you know, your point did hit home that what happens if I have a bad year? I play twos all year, yada, yada. I think one thing that is, he's so young and everyone's seen how he goes at AFL level. So as long as his attitude's right, even if he was playing twos, he'll get picked up next year would be my guess. But I also get the feeling that when you're young, there's this urgency as well to always guarantee games, guarantee contracts, all these things. And I totally get it. I just think from my point of view, I find it a little bit strange just because they had no injuries in that front half all year.
Yep.
And, you know, Bobby had a great year. McCreary's going well. But for me, it's just like you're in the premiership team. And from my experience, I thought I was part of a squad that was the best team in the comp only twice. And one was 2016 by the time we got to the pointy end of the season. And then this year, you know, I wasn't playing, but I thought we were flying along and playing really good footy, and Collingwood got us done. And I played prelims and all that, but that's the footy that really, really matters. That's the footy that we all want to play. And I guess my view would be, I think Collingwood would be very good again next year and not another year. And then maybe we have to recalibrate when Penderbury and Sidebottom and Howe and all these guys age on, Mason Cox even, you know, they're all get a bit older. Then you recalibrate. But to feel as though you are right in the window for 1 year or 2 years, I would have thought potentially he just stays and just sees, because all it takes is, you know, hopefully touch on it, it doesn't happen, but a Bobby Hill or a McCreary or an Elliott to roll an ankle and miss 4 weeks and you're definitely in, let alone the fact that you should back in that you're going to improve and maybe just claim that spot and kick out McCreary or take Bobby's spot again. I know he's a Norm Smith medalist. So that, the one for me, was interesting because now he's going to the other end of the ladder. And that, I've been there. That is a very different experience. That is a very difficult experience. Just because at that point, you deal in hope and potential. That's what you're dealing with when you're the boat. We will get better. We hope to improve. We'll get these people in. We will get to the point end of the ladder. When you're Collingwood, you deal with facts. We've been here. We lost a prelim by 1 point in 2022. We won the grand final in 2023. We've got the best young player in the game. We've got all these guns around us. We are the biggest club. That's matter of fact. And I just thought, for my sense, maybe, and that's obviously a different perspective, maybe just hang on for one more year, because I tell you what, I reckon two medals is better than one medal. And, you know, and that's something that, you know, it's hard just to be like, oh, we will get there, we will get there. Being there, you should, I thought maybe, but I do see your point very clearly as well. Hey, I can lock away. I'm not sure what the length of the deal is.
4 years, I think.
So he's plus 3 years on his deal with Collingwood, and I presume for a lot more money too. So I totally understand that. And he sees a spot there, and also he can ride the wave of improvement. But I just thought, hey, you're in the grand final team. It's not as if he played twos for the last 14 weeks. He got back into the side and contribute at different times. But, you never know someone's, and good luck to him. And he's a really nice guy. I've met him a few times. He's a lovely fella. I wish him all the best.
The other point to note is that the relationship between player and club wasn't exactly rosy by the end either, and it started to fracture in various forms by virtue of the fact that the final straw, I suppose, was the trip to the Moonee Valley races the night before the grand final. We heard the coach publicly twice said that maybe wasn't the decision that he would want his players to make. Privately, we're told he was even stronger with Jack Ginnivan as well. So and then he doubles down, Jack, by becoming the ambassador for Moonee Valley as well. So perhaps things got a little bit strained at the end. How unhappy are Collingwood that he goes? Maybe not that unhappy. And depending on who you speak to, they might have even planted the seed initially as well. So there might have been that feeling from Jack, well, how much am I actually wanted here as well? Which is, I'd imagine, is an awkward spot to be in.
Yeah, I would have thought, you know, one thing all you want as a player is to feel wanted by your club. And anytime you hear a whisper that maybe someone's even floated your name, even to get another player, that generally makes its way back to the player. You'll get over it, but it is hurtful. You want to feel wanted. You know, every player I've spoken to, all you want to do is feel valued and wanted by a football club. That is it. And hopefully you can make it work from there. And, you know, let's say Collingwood had decided that it wasn't worth it anymore. You know, in their mind, they're probably like, hey, we just turned a rookie pick into a premiership player and now a big up tick in our draft hand. Mm. And we've got plenty of depth in that position too. So, that, you know, in terms of shrewd business. But the other thing is, you know, one thing you got to factor in team sport is distraction level. We all want individuality. We want all these aspects. But a club will make a decision at some point or the other. Jason Ackermanis, the most famous case that I can remember in the 21st century, where it was like, all right, Acker, you're officially too much of a distraction. We loved it and we tolerated it for a long time, but you've just tipped over that point. And if that would, from what you've sort of said, that sort of feels like maybe they've reached that point where it's like, hey, we're all rowing this way. We love the fact that you're an individual and we think that's great. It gives us a bit of pizzazz. But now it's sort of gone a bit too far.